Just a heads up, I can see that you've got this whole show scripted out, so
no, we don't.
You might want to get back on point.
I am a radio icon.
Let me
see. And by the way, so are you.
Hi, I'm Max, and hi, I'm Mike. Here's the Oddcast.
You are a pussy.
Everybody's dodging us.
Everybody's dodging us. Why is that?
There's no reason to talk to us.
Because most of what you say is gibberish, that's why.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Tolkoff.
Are we rolling?
Okay, here's the intro.
Okay, you guys feeling romantic?
Ladies and gentlemen, the beginning of the Oddcast for today. We are in a professional studio for the first time in probably about 6 months.
Yes, thank God.
We're grateful. My buddy Bill Corkery, who's I've known pretty much since I moved to San Diego, is letting us borrow his studio. And one of the reasons I was here earlier is to cut a voiceover for something, a little side project that I'm doing. But the main thing I want to talk about, the fact, is that Bill is one of the only people that I know that successfully walked out of a radio station just when they were getting digital and walked into a situation which I want him to explain. I know, Max, you hadn't met him before because you left 91X
right
before he got there.
He's an ex-91Xer. And by the way, what you just said, what did you just say?
What?
What did you go back?
He was one of the only people who walked away from a successful radio career.
Right. That's because you don't know anybody else. You only know, like, very few people. There's a lot of people that walked away and had successful careers, but you only know Bill.
Name 40. So you can't do it.
So Bill is somebody, I've heard
his name. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Corkery.
Bill Corkery, I've heard his name.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know that he worked at 91X, honestly. I had no idea.
Well, the weird thing is, we were talking about this earlier. When I first got there, Eric Thompson was still kind of in the building.
Reckless Eric
air. And then Blair was doing production as well.
Blair Schultz.
Blair Schultz, who I worked with at Wheels. I'm going to tag him on the Facebook page so he listens to this thing. Bill arrived. Give me the rundown. Where were you working before you got to 91X, Bill?
I was at KGB for about seven and a half years.
Can you get closer to that microphone? I'm sorry.
You're telling him to get closer to the mic? Everybody. He does it with everybody.
I'm close enough to the mic.
All right.
I don't.
You were at KGB?
Yeah. I was doing production at KGB. I started as the janitor.
No!
Yeah.
Really? That's a classic radio story. That is a classic radio
working story. You never, ever, ever mentioned that. You actually were sweeping floors?
Cleaning the toilets, emptying the trash, but
there you go.
I had the master key to all the production studios, so
and
when
so
everybody
go
was gone,
practice, you'd go and like play in the studio at night.
Yes, yeah, I would. Yeah.
Let me back you
and
up.
By the way, that's what Stapleford did.
He didn't clean the bathroom.
No, but he knew nothing. He was a phone op.
Stop for 1 second, Bill. Were you trained as a janitor, or did you get a job and your job was to clean the bathrooms?
I was actually an intern. My last semester at San Diego State,
and this is 19. What?
You went to 80, San Diego State 80. Too?
I'm an Aztec. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it was awesome. 80, 81. I was doing internship there, driving around the KGB van, passing out stickers, and I thought, hey, I wouldn't mind being a jock, and so I did an internship there, and Sonny Jim Price. Remember Jim Price? He was the general manager at KGB. He bought and built that great studio on Engineer Road. I got in there when it was brand new, and he pulled me into his office after the internship, and he's kind of pulling on his little exercise grip thing. And he said, I like your attitude. I like your work ethic. You work hard. I want to offer you a job. It's not exactly what you want, but when the right time comes along, you'll be in the right place. We're not exactly happy with our janitorial crew. So,
really?
Yeah. So
this is
amazing.
This is almost more bizarre than I could imagine. Yeah. It's like you couldn't make this up.
No. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. I mean, I graduated from San Diego State with a degree in, speech communication.
Right.
And so the internship turned into a job as a janitor. And I said, yeah, it'll put me in the right place. So then they had a whole bunch of things going on. I'd work in the production department.
What year was that about?
I graduated in 81.
So you were in the 80s. You were at KGB for the most part.
For about 7.5 years.
Was Larry Bruce
Larry Bruce was there. Judy McNutt.
You're jumping too far ahead. I just
want to ask about Larry Bruce.
I'm fascinated.
I got a Larry Bruce story for you.
Right. Now this has brought me to a point where I have more respect than I did before.
my competitor, our competitor across the street.
We can talk about Larry that in the no, second wait. Part of this interview. I'm going back to the fact that here is Bill, right? Here is Bill in the other room, so wonderfully, like, deranged enough to say, I'll clean the shit in the toilets.
Yes, well, that's you have to
start. To basically be able to, and it's funny you say this, because I interned at DET and spun, like, other people's shows because I got to go through the music library. So after you cleaned the bathrooms, vacuumed everything, you were in there practicing
full
your
craft. Full access to the multi-track studios.
How long did it take for you to become proficient after screwing around at night and learning things on your own?
Well,
how long did it take?
With the help of my mentor, Tommy Sarmiento, who's production director at the time, he ended up hiring me. Well, what I do is I'd mock up commercials and I put them. Remember carts?
I put them on a cart. Some.
Yeah, I put them on a cart and I put it on his desk. And then when I get in the next day, he'd critique them. He'd say, you know, you need to spend more time behind the microphone because that's the only way you're going to get comfortable. Right now, it sounds like you're afraid of the mic. And so on and on, you know, I did
more
and more.
Where is he now?
You know, I've been trying to get in touch with him. He does, I think he taught himself coding, and he's doing some coding for the school system, the San Diego school system. Right.
You know what we should call this segment? Good Bill Hunting.
Where the rim shot sound effects when you need them.
Jason's idea.
Best part is Bill will put one in before he sends it to the interview to us. So you're basically throwing a couple of carts at him a day?
Usually just one cart, maybe a couple of things
day.
On it. Yeah.
Okay.
So and how long something? Before they said, how
don't
often
jump.
Did,
don't jump. Don't jump.
Well, this is the next step.
Gotta yeah.
go. And then you want to,
and then
like,
you got a studio. And we're done. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You start every story first the earth cooled.
Here's what you need to understand. I'm blown away. So as you're as you're handing carts to this guy,
yeah,
and he's basically saying, what about this? What about this?
Yep.
At what point do you remember going, and then like everything tumbles into place? Do you remember what it was?
It was. It's an evolution. It's an evolution. It's not like
the
switch going
on. Yeah, but what was the first
thing
they used?
Was it a San Diego chicken commercial?
No, but that was funny. At the time, they had this janitor cleaning up the studio and beep, 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 yeah.
KGBFM Rock San Diego.
And that was a promo?
Well, it was on the TV. It had this guy dusting the microphone, and he hit a couple of buttons. You might remember it.
Okay, so what was the first thing that you did that they accepted?
Well, I was typing up the labels on the carts. So, you know, they'd be done.
They liked your penmanship.
Yeah, no, typing.
No, the reason I asked is because, let's go back to Stapleford for a minute.
Okay.
So he was hired as
That's
a phone
forward
op.
To Stapleford.
All right. He was a phone op in the early 80s.
Right.
And he didn't know anything, really. He graduated from State, didn't he? Or no, it was UCSD. Where did he go to
school?
Kevin
went to, I believe it was UCLA.
Oh, whatever.
And he interned for K-Rock.
All right, so he comes back, and 91X, he's a phone op. He's sitting in San Diego at the office, and we're in Mexico. And Kevin, in his spare time, went back to the production studio and just started fooling around. And he would drop things on my desk. Like, every few days, I'd get a cassette
right.
or something, and it was just crap. He didn't know how to use the mics, nothing. He didn't have. But then, after, I don't know.
Things started to develop.
Yes, about
yeah.
6 months. Then one day, he dropped something on my desk, and it was, I think it was a slam call for the Sheep People. I don't remember what it was.
But it was masterfully done.
It was amazing. It was so funny. And bam, we put it on the air. And then he kind of became our image producer for the rest of the 80s.
Right, and he was darn good at it.
He was,
come
right?
up with sounds like, that were unbelievable.
No, you're just nodding. You don't.
No, here's the thing. Kevin,
you don't know how to do
Kevin,
production.
Kevin did not do imaging. He changed what imaging was thought of. He did crap that nobody had ever thought of before because he
yes.
didn't have rules.
Right.
So he went in there and
absolutely.
He started chopping things together. He was doing stutter. The weird part about it was I had no idea he had no experience, but he obviously taught himself, and it was razor blades in those days.
Absolutely, yeah.
For you little kids, those are things that before we did a bunch of cocaine, we used razor blades. We did razor blades to actually
There were
cut
other
tape.
Uses for those
well, sometimes
things.
Sometimes we did them both at the same time. We'd be cutting tape and blinds.
Let me jump back to
Hopefully
Bill's
not
story.
With the same blade.
Back to Good Bill Hunting.
Did you at one point sit there and go, if they don't fucking give me a job soon, I'm leaving? Or were you just okay with coming in there
well, here,
because you were getting free tickets and albums?
Well, here's the story that leads me to 91X. I was, it was KGB AM, 13K at the time. They wanted to go with, instead of doing the oldies stuff, they wanted to go with more pop sound. And that didn't work out. So they went with, they hired John Minnelli from what was the
Melly Vanelli.
No, it was the news station at the time.
Kogo.
Was it Kogo?
Here's what I love about all of us getting older. None of us could remember anything anymore.
No, CRS. But it started with a K. I remember that.
And so, it had three letters after it.
So anyway, he came in and he changed the format to KCNN. We were running the TV audio at the top third of the hour, and then we do local stuff at the bottom, and then up to the top of the hour again. So I learned to do the promos and stuff like that after coming out of the garbage bin, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening was when 69 Extra Gold wanted to go with the news format. I applied for the production director job over there, and the guy at the time, Tommy Jimenez, and the guys that were running they came in from New York or something like that to change the format, and they heard that I had the chops to do the promos and that kind of thing, and I'd helped KGB go over into that format, and so they hired me, and the week I turned in my 2 weeks notice, and during that time I was working basically, they wanted me there right now at 91X to do, like, so I'm doing two weeks.
Same building.
Yeah. But, no, but this same building. This is different. The one on Pacific Highway. The same building where I met you.
Yeah, but the Mighty 690 you're going to go towards, you said.
No? Yeah. So, yeah, it was
the same building that stations were run out of, but not where the transmitters
were. No. I was still on Engineer Road when when I turned in my 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, but you were quitting. You said you were going to go work for an AM station, right?
Well, it was both. I was doing production for 91X and News Talk 690 is what they were going to go to.
What they were going to go to.
Yeah, they were. Well, they did. They actually did that, and we had.
I don't remember them going to that. I remember them bringing in Wolfman Jack at one point.
Who?
No, that
90,
was
690.
That was ancient history. I don't.
What?
I don't remember Wolfman.
Yeah, Wolfman. When I was,
you must have left before they brought Wolfman.
Late '80s, they decided to put Wolfman Jack in the Mighty 690.
Okay, but you remember I worked at KGB for like 7.5 years.
Right.
And so then it must have been early 90s or late 80s, and then I finally left there in 93.
Right, so here's what I want to know.
Okay.
Your KGB years, let's go back to those. While you were there, what was the attitude of the station? What was everybody talking about?
Let me rephrase the question. Did Ted the Putty Head hate Max Tolkoff much as he supposedly did?
What was the general mood there about 91X? Did you guys all hate us? Was there a lot of like trash talk? What was going like?
Say
what
yes.
was the attitude?
You know,
we want some dirt, Bill.
Well, the main thing is that it didn't seem like anybody really cared, except for the people that the refugees from 91X, they came over, and they were the ones who were trash talking the whole business.
Refugees? What were, nobody ever left 91X
Blair
to go to
Schultz.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Sue Delaney. Brian Schock.
Brian Schock.
Traitor.
Traitor.
And Wolf.
Who?
Pam Wolf.
She never went to KGB.
Yeah, she did. She was there for a little while.
Pause, Bill. Pause, Max. There was a time when I got a phone call in Detroit from this guy called Max Tolkoff, who happens to be sitting next to me, saying, my night girl quit to go become a teacher. Will you come and replace her?
She didn't go to KGB.
Yes, she did.
What?
She did, because 3 months later, she was on the U2 party bus going up to Vegas to watch them do the Joshua Tree tour when they shot the video for Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And she announced then that she was going to go work part-time at KGB. So it's like she quit on you, and she went to work.
No, I was already gone. She didn't.
No. Sure? You had just hired me.
I just remember her going to be a teacher. I didn't know anything about the KGB thing.
She went to KGB.
How did I not know that?
And I gave her shit all the way up on the bus, all the way to Vegas.
Holy cow.
I'm like, Pam Wolf, formerly of 91X, now of shitty KGB.
Were you on the bus, too?
I was on the bus giving her shit. I had the microphone.
Oh, and another thing is, I was there. I guess I blazed the trail for Berger and Prescott.
Right, you did.
So I was there for, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe
all right,
a few months less.
All right, so what were our traders trash-talking us about?
They said, you don't want to go work there. You don't want to go work there. It's a mess. It's terrible. It's you know.
Why? Why is it a mess? It's terrible. Because I made it a mess? Did
No, it was because...
Tell me if I got mentioned.
The only time... The first time I heard your name was when I walked into 91X. They said, Mad Max. Mad Max this, Mad Max that. He put this format together. He's the guy, you know. And so,
that and a dollar will get me a cup of coffee at 7-Eleven.
No, come on. You got history. And so...
He's an asshole.
Mostly,
again, history
Halloran
is not
said that.
Paying as much as Social Security is.
maybe I should think about that.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, finish.
So, yeah, and so it was just more like the whole... the people upstairs, there were you remember the building, there was the downstairs,
yeah,
and it was right next to the railroad track. I'd have to stop
upstairs
production.
There was a gym.
Yeah, but it wasn't for us.
No,
it was for the corporate guys, you know. So anyway, it was just like they didn't have things working right. And when I got there, I saw that the pyramid was upside down. All the leaders, the Indian chiefs, were at the top. You know, and it was top heavy, and then all the workers were down at the pinnacle, which is at the bottom, which didn't make any sense to me.
Huh.
So I don't know if that was the same thing that
you
experienced.
I never thought about it in those terms. I just remember, you know, John Lynch was into the format, and even during the dark days when the numbers went down, he was committed because he was not a Budinsky, you know.
No.
He kind of figured, look, we had Fred Jacobs, we had Bob Lawrence. Was now because the place was getting bigger. And by the way, my last year there, you know, they had bought BAB on Long Island, and Bob Buckman was in charge. And all of a sudden, I started getting from corporate, hey, you know, Bob had a great idea for this promotion. I think you should look into it. And he's on Long Island. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, who else do we know from Long Island? There's a guy from Quag that used to work at 91X.
That's me. Me. So, Bill, I don't know about the period. I mean, it was just, it was okay. The salespeople stayed to themselves. Glickenhaus and Lynch yelled at them constantly.
Did you do production?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and you didn't get napkins thrown at you 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, long weekend. Hey, this needs to go on the air.
Always. I think my production day was, I had a set production day. Because I was having to run everything else, and I was doing mornings. But Friday was my day. I would come in, no phone calls from anybody else. Whatever they gave me, I went back and did it in the production. It was like 5 hours or so.
Yeah, well, I was there all week, and they had a chance to throw the cocktail napkins at me earlier in the week. And a lot of times I had to write the copy, and I was like, no, I want to do a good job. I want to represent the client that you're representing, and I want them to sign again.
So I love him.
What?
Explain to people what you mean by a cocktail napkin as opposed to real copy.
They're worlds apart. I mean,
but to the average,
oh, in other words,
you
got
there,
a couple of notes on a napkin. Go here,
yeah,
produce the spot.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's kids today who go into production,
and you know what?
They're generally getting an email in or texting at the last minute. A cocktail napkin would be like a text from a sales guy. Hey, cut a commercial. We need $20 off this cigarette coupon for Juul cigarettes at blah, 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 blah. That's what it would be today. You're talking about they were at the bar, drunk night, with the client.
And
they
the worst thing...
And they would wait till Friday at 5 and then go, here, Bill.
The worst thing that could happen there is a misspelling now and then. But, you know, gin runs even permanent ink on a napkin.
Did not know that.
I've seen it.
Did not know that. So, you're there for how long? Are you at 91X in charge of the? Because you worked. Jason Martin was there at the time.
Yeah.
Who else was? Who else were you working with? He's a big time radio.
I know.
Record he's, promoter guy.
I hear from him periodically. He's a great guy. We do. We go down to the hot dog place on the end of India Street.
Right.
And get the TJ dogs, and we have a good time.
Bill, here's from your perspective, because you're obviously a successful production guy now with your own studio. Here's the thing that fascinates me. Radio today, jocks don't do production.
I made them do it because I wanted a number of different voices on the commercials.
But
not just,
here's the thing. They only lend voices now. Nobody knows how to go back there and do the work anymore, right?
Well, a lot of times all I needed was the voice
Bill
within 30 seconds.
Bill hasn't worked in radio for how long?
26 years.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Hey, let me ask you this, Bill. The janitorial service, are they using the lemon scent anymore in janitorial
services? No,
I
like the
Fabuloso. I love Fabuloso.
I hate that scent. Oh, if they would make it in the linen scent,
I would love it at home. It would
go. So let me. So you're there. You're working with Jason Martin. Who else do you remember from the 91X days before you left and bought your studio, which we're in right now?
Well, obviously, there's you. And,
I don't remember me.
And then there's Oz.
Right.
Oz, 91 eggs.
Yeah.
91 eggs.
Okay, pencils down. Test is over. Whatever hits
time's
that
up,
bell.
Pencils down.
Yeah, time's up. Pencils down. And
you didn't hear about the massive screaming argument I got in with Steve West?
Please.
Oh, and
please.
Steve West. Yeah, he's on his way out, isn't he? Permanently.
Bill.
Well, I mean, you know, we all got to go. We're all going to wind up in the same place, right?
I had a massive argument with Steve, though, about Lamb Lies Down on Broadway from Genesis.
This is the 15th time he's brought it up. Steve West, Jason Martin, Oz Medina, me.
Yep.
Obviously not Max Tolkoff. Kevin Stapleford.
Robin Roth, Billy Bones.
Kevin Stapleford, Billy Bones.
Yeah, good folks. And then what was really amazing is while I was here, there was a resurgence. They brought Oz back from Colorado or wherever he was. And it's like, wow, the format, everybody's back. And that lasted, what, a couple of years?
A long time. No, it's really weird. Like, here, just a few years ago when Halloran was the PD, we still had, let's see, Halloran, Robin, and who else was still on the air?
Before Billy Bones.
Oz. Yeah. For a short time.
It's like nothing had changed in 30 years. I don't know any other radio station that had so many jocks from the very early days.
No.
Do you know any?
No. I don't think it's ever happened.
I mean, one or two.
WMMR. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. So you had people like Michael Tierson and all those guys. But to have the same jocks in the 21st century that we had in the 80s is kind of amazing.
I'm about to yawn. So, Bill, at what point are you sitting in? This is the weird thing to me because I watched a bizarre documentary last night about a guy who quit his job, took all of his money, sold his house, and he bought a longboat. You know what a longboat is?
Yep.
It's like
a narrowboat?
A narrowboat.
Yes, travels by narrowboat.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Tammy hates the show.
Did you just discover it,
or did I tell you about it?
No, you didn't tell me about it.
But this is the weirder show. Tell him about the show. It's so fucking weird.
This is the thing. It's just like I was watching that last night, and I'm like, I don't know anybody like that. And then when I realized it was coming here today, I was like, no, I do know a guy like that. His name is Bill Corkery. This guy basically... I've watched like the first part of the episode. He basically is sitting in this van waiting for 2 weeks to take possession of his longboat, and I don't know if he's going to sell shit. I have no idea.
It's called a narrowboat, and it's one of these boats that
they use them in Peaky Blinders all the time.
Yeah, Peaky Blinders. So you can travel all of England on the canals, but you have this really long but narrow boat with like a 2-horsepower engine. And it just goes chunka, 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 chunka. And the boat doesn't go any faster than 5 miles an hour,
right,
if that.
But this guy quits whatever he was doing, and he buys this thing. So at what point were you sitting there going, wow, I've got, you know, $2,500 in the bank. I'm going to go out, and there's a studio for sale not far from the 91X building. This
not
is like
far
a
at
mile
all.
And a bit, maybe less.
Yeah.
And first of all, who owned the studio? How did you acquire it? Why did you acquire it? Because it is pristine, one. It looks like it was built in whatever year it was built, and you haven't changed
much. And it
has
air conditioning.
That's a big plus.
That works. Tell me about, at what point did you go, fuck this radio shit. Fuck the wax pencils and the razor blades and the lack of cocaine. I'm going to move over, and I'm going to start making commercials full-time for anybody who needs them.
Well, this, you know what, and that's one of the weird things. When I first got here, I thought, okay, how am I going to market myself to the radio stations? And I realized there's so much audio out there that has nothing to do with radio. And so I expanded my horizons. But the guy that owned this before, his name was, who's the danger, Steve Irwin.
What?
No, it was not that guy. Okay. It was another Steve Irwin.
Okay.
Wait, so this studio was already built?
Yeah, it was built.
Wow.
A&G Productions had this entire bottom floor, and they did all the, if you guys remember Two Guys, the department store.
Yes.
It's like a city block worth of shops and stuff like that. You can get tailor-made suits, you can get groceries and electronics and everything like that. It's like fries on steroids.
Right.
So anyway, they were doing the production for all the Two Guys stores, and he worked his way in. He got built this little studio section of the bottom floor, and then he was getting ready to retire. He bought stocks in Price Club.
Wow.
And so he's always hovering right a little bit above, a little bit below a million. And then he said, "I'm done with this. I want to go live in." So he lived part time in Mexico, and part time up here. When it got too rainy in Mexico.
How did you meet him? How did you get to know? Give me
the rundown. Well, we had a mutual friend, and she told me, "Okay, you gotta meet this guy. He wants to sell his studio, and I know you want to get away from the corporate scene." And I was thinking, yeah, you know what? I could do this. I could do this on my own. So Ashley Gardner was her name. I used to work with her at 91X. She used to do the, remember in the days where you had to have PSAs?
Yeah.
She used to do all the PSAs. I remember one time I was late at work, and she came back from the Halloween party, and she was wearing these wings, and she's doing her production in the studio, and I thought that was pretty cool. So I took over the keys. And my ex-wife, at the time, she was 8 months pregnant with my son. We already had a daughter. And so I gave up a steady paycheck, took a leap of faith, and I stepped in here. And
she must have been so happy.
She looked at me sideways, and I said, I'll do whatever it takes to make it work. And aww, here I am 26 years later.
26 years
26
later.
Years?
Yeah. He's a grandfather. Holy already?
God. Not yet.
Really?
So when you met the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to ask what you paid for it, but was it something where you thought, I'm never, ever, ever going to be able to stomach this? Or was it something where you went, oh, I can handle this if it kills me?
I borrowed from everybody I knew, from my ex's dad, from my dad, from, I put all my savings and whatever I had, and that wasn't much. He worked at 91X, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I still have it, $256 in my checking account.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you must have liked the sense of freedom that you had at 91X versus KGB. I mean, here's a wacky radio station. You could be creative.
Yeah, and I did like the creative aspect of it, and as a production director rather than assistant, you know, I thought, yeah, I'm kind of running the show here. So,
but I would like to point out two things that Bill will remember that you don't, was the Mexican delay, which was you had to have the commercial done hours and hours before you could walk it in the studio because
right.
you couldn't walk it in the freaking studio.
No, it had to be
Plus,
taken down.
You had to do two versions of it, one to stay in the U.S. side.
Right.
Because eventually,
an exact copy.
Eventually we got to the point where we had the satellite and then one to send down.
Right. You guys remember Tom Campbell. DOW down now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, he used to have like 64, 67 second commercials. And I sped him up one time and he called me directly and he said, never do that again. And I said, hey, look, you want the call to action cut off? Because they have in Mexico, they have. It's right. all automated.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that you get your call
Wait
to action
a minute.
In there.
60 is a 60. Yeah. How did
because he spent
every radio
a
station
ton.
In town not explain to him that we got you got to end at 60
because they spent a shit ton
he
of money.
He spent a ton.
I mean, know, but still, it's got to
yep,
be 60.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what did everybody
well, we know
do?
That
they
now with the living in the digital
no,
realm, right?
Him, they let him run at 64. They didn't give a shit. They were like, we'll get away with it.
Yeah, but not
which they did because they
not
fucking,
not
like, and
it didn't get past me.
Same deal.
Yeah, Fred rated.
So the funniest problem. Thing was that we had a guy, we had a messenger guy who had a Volkswagen Bug, right? And
yeah.
all the spots
Great
and the
guy.
Logs
yep.
went down in the Bug to...
Under the seat.
Yeah.
Under the seat because he didn't want to get caught.
No, he couldn't get caught. That was the thing. He couldn't get caught with any of this stuff. So he would come to the Mighty 690 first, then drive all the way back up and drop everything off at 91X.
He couldn't get caught coming north.
Yeah, coming north.
Going
because,
south, he had to declare
yeah.
all that shit.
Yeah, but coming north because it was some sort of intellectual property or something like that
yeah.
that they could be taxed on.
I dealt
on.
With that up until last, like, 4 months ago.
Wow.
But again, so, a situation yeah. you don't see at most radio stations.
Correct. Yep. So the whole thing is that you're talking
We're
about...
We're special.
He was creative. He got to do all this stuff, but after a while, the cocktail napkins at 4 o'clock on a Friday, because the spots had to be in the Bug's hand, to go down to Mexico yeah. by 5, right?
He yeah, and remember, leaving. You know, yeah, like so. A month after I started the job, I was a family man with 2 kids.
Right.
So I'm expected to be home for dinner, you know?
It never happened.
Never
he
happened.
Still hasn't made it home. For never.
One time there
was
that's why my wife left me.
Yeah, really.
One time there was a
emphasis
a strike.
On 91X. Maybe that's what the X is for.
The what was it? The
he's being funny right now. You're trying to keep it.
What's the Mexican FCC? Every once in a while, there'd be a strike, right? So all the radio workers would leave the building, shut the door, set up a hot plate, and like a little, everybody would hang out, but you couldn't go in, and we were off the air. And this happened a couple of times. One time, and so when the strike would end, and nobody would know when it would happen.
Was it like 24-hour National Mexican Hour?
I forget. Yeah, it was something weird, and so
you're coming up with Brian Jones stories. I can't go down in it.
No,
it's not. They're doing a Mexican
but here's
strike.
The thing. So when that would happen, nobody they'd kick
and
out.
Max
all
believed
the,
him.
They would kick out all the American DJs. Right, everybody had to leave the building. We were all gone.
Never
everybody would go home
after 1986. Never.
So everybody went home, and then when the strike would end, it would take like an hour to get somebody down there to get back on the air. So one time, I don't know what happened. I didn't get the word. I went down there, and I went to the 91X block house, right? The door was closed. I was just hanging out there, and I was hanging out there when the strike ended, and I happened to be right there. So when the strike ended, I was the first one on the air. Thank you. Did anybody thank me for that? No, not really.
No, I'll give you a standing ovation right now.
All right.
Yes, okay. Mike Halloran is indeed standing. You
I
can't
like
see
to,
it.
I would like to point out, I want to first of all thank Bill for doing this stuff. 26 years in the same place.
Yeah, that's amazing.
One thing I would like to talk to you about is you used to have a very famous guy that would come in here on a weekly basis almost to do sports stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us about that and other things that you would like to share with us? Because you...
Dick Enberg was like the gentleman's gentleman. And he
Dick
did,
Enberg, really?
He yeah, did
was
probably
here.
His...
In this room building for
quite a number of years. He'd come in and he started a podcast, and probably his last, I don't know, 20, 30 interviews that he'd ever done were here before he passed away. I mean, he was going back east to visit his family for Christmas. He never showed up, and his wife called, and a friend checked on him, and he had waited. I mean, he was had all his bags packed and by the door, but he didn't make it out the door.
Waiting for the driver. Driver showed up, never answered the door, right?
Yeah, so.
I want to do our show here every week.
And hear the Dick Enberg story?
Yeah. I mean, what do you...
This is the historical facts about the...
How much
else
do you charge to rent the studio? I want to see if we can come up with the money.
Yeah, we'll talk about that afterwards.
He wants a number now so he can talk you down. Dick Enberg, who else have you had in the studio over the years?
Well, Bill Walton read his most recent book here. It's called Back.
You didn't hear that part.
Back from the Dead.
Put your headphones back on.
Yeah.
Say it again.
So Bill Walton read his entire book, Back from the Dead, here.
He's thinking it's like the Walton family, like, good night, Jim Bob. No, it's the super tall guy that played basketball who lives here in San Diego.
And he's a total deadhead. I mean, you'll see him at the,
he blocks everybody's view.
Oh, I've been to a Dead concert where he was, okay?
Where he was there?
Where he was there, high as a kite.
Yeah. Well,
because I was also.
you were on the same level.
You know,
I was in Portland, Oregon. There was a Dead show in Portland, Oregon, somewhere in the late 70s.
Yeah.
I went there with a friend. Mm-hmm. We drove there from Mammoth Lakes. It was like hours and hours and
hours.
Wow. Sat on line in front of the venue, like with all the other deadheads, and drank strange liquid out of a bottle that somebody was passing around. And when we got in, right? We're at the concert. One big tall guy is in front.
That would be Bill
Walton.
That
was Bill.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
He was making the gesture of somebody smoking copious amounts of weed. Bill Walton, Dick Enberg.
And the guy who used to play football, he now runs the Rock Church. Miles McPherson. Yeah, he came in and he read his entire book, The Third Option. And that was very interesting too.
And
really
you also do things.
Guy.
I came in here to do a what do you call it? A satellite read, an ISDN read, where the producers of a TV show in Los Angeles. I was trying to be the VO guy for it was Airplane Repo. which you said you watched when it finally came out. I auditioned.
They should have hired you.
They should have hired me. I know about more about airplanes than whoever the fucking read that shit. But the point being is that you could sit here in this studio and basically somebody in L.A. would go, take it again. It's kind of like my buddy Jason does. He's like, take it again, but use this inflection. Criad.
By the way, do you know who the general manager is of the San Francisco 49ers?
Let me tell you something.
Wait, no.
I don't
know. Do you know?
Is it Bill Walsh?
Jason, do you know?
He's not on the Cavs.
Oh, he's not on the thing? Yeah. The general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, who you will see on most weekends.
John Lynch Jr.
John Lynch Jr.
John Lynch Jr.
Wow.
The son of John Lynch, Bill, who owned 91X, his kid, who he used to see running around as a 13-year-old, is now the general manager.
You mean you're talking about John Lynch Jr., the guy that had Oingo Boingo play his prom?
Yes.
His homecoming?
Hey, Bill, do you remember when Oingo Boingo played the outdoor amphitheater? And they pulled the seats out of the cement in the front row?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was so crazy. They did Dead Man's Party live for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was behind that row that got pulled out
of
the cement.
I wish those days would have ended sooner. Bill Corkery, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, it's BC Productions. Is that what it is? Or Bill Corkery Productions?
Well, yeah, it's bcproductions.com.
And they can hire you to do all kinds of VOs and all that kind of crazy stuff. If you come to San Diego, he owns the corner, bottom corner of a building.
At 1660 Hotel Circle North.
Yeah, so if you come and stay in a hotel close, you can come over to your
voice. Yeah, that's great. So Lenny Diana knows where to go now when he comes in from Massachusetts.
That's what I'm saying. All these radio programmers or these radio production people are going like, how the fuck do I
get
out of this business?
Well, we're going to do our podcast here every week now.
Excellent.
Chill. Right.
What do you mean?
You can't afford him.
He hasn't told us how much it is. I bet I can get it paid for.
All right.
We have a commercial this week. I forgot. Shit.
We do.
All right. We're going to have to do it next week.
No, just read the commercial now.
There's no copy. It's like we have
I'll get you a napkin. I'll get you a cocktail napkin.
Yeah, give me a cocktail napkin.
Why don't we just talk about the client that we have? I'm super stoked, by the way, because you actually probably realize that one of the greatest guilty pleasures of all time is the first album from that band called Third Eye Blind. You remember Third Eye Blind?
Yes.
That first album was chock-a-block full of these amazing songs. And Stephen Jenkins, who is the singer of the band, has got a new project that he's out, and it's basically...
Well, there's a new album out.
Right. It's him, right? But it's not the original members of Third Eye Blind.
Are Weezer the original members of Weezer?
Most of them are.
Most of them are. So Steven's the original. They're all still there.
So he's got a new project. He's sponsoring. He wants people to know that we know who he is, and he wants people to be aware that he has a new project out, and I want to get him on the show.
Yeah, they're on Megaforce Records. Megaforce is, advertising this week. Our first advertiser.
We
haven't done shit for them.
Advertising is
good. It was supposed
to
be in the middle of the show. Now we're at the end. We're going to do it again next week.
This is the middle because right after this, we're going to cut to...
What?
Stories about drugs, dereliction, and crazy...
Hey, Bill, you've been very patient.
Bill, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
We're in his studio. 26 years he's been here. I'm super stoked to have known you for this many years.
And I never knew. And he was a 91Xer, too. I had no idea.
Well, our paths didn't cross at that time.
He worked at everything. You knew Jim Rome, and nobody knew Jim Rome. You remember when he was a nobody?
Yeah, he came up from down from Santa Barbara.
San Luis Obispo. No, was it Santa Barbara?
Yeah, it was a little. He was doing weekends and fill-ins at Santa Barbara or something.
Right, working for Jane Asher.
Yeah, and then he came back down here. K-Tide?
I think it was K-Tide.
And he was doing weekends and fill-ins, and he became such a hit, they gave him a full-time job. And look where he is now.
Yep.
Romy.
He's getting into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Exactly. This goes against the whole theory of, like, you never make any money in radio. Nothing ever happens, but it does sometimes.
Yeah, I would like to think, and you were there in the beginning, he got a lot of his attitude from that building because we at 91X, you probably remember some of these stories, but he came over and he would ask, because Tom Perry was kind of running and engineering his show, and he said to Tom, I need some bumper music. So Tom would come over and he used Welcome to the Jungle. He used all these songs, and nobody in those days cared about paying royalties for bumper music. So they were using it as the theme of his radio show forever.
That now. Yeah,
and here's the insane part. Scott Litt, our old friend Scott Litt, who produced all these great REM albums, used to listen to him on the Mighty 690 all the time and contacted Jim Rome and said, hey, man, I want to do an album. He goes, do an album? He goes, yeah, just you talking about sports. So they're like, well, that's going to sound stupid. He goes, no.
Scott Litt said that
Scott Litt produced an album. It's out. So Scott Litt goes and he calls the Guns N' Roses people to say, I want to license the song. And they go, oh, we don't do that stuff. No, no, no. He's already using it for the theme. Jim Rome is using Welcome to the Jungle for the theme of the show is Welcome to the Jungle, right?
Lawsuit in,
and so suddenly
progress.
It's like, what the fuck is going on? So Guns N' Roses, who ironically have played TJ last night, suddenly it's like they're having, like, you know, it's Jim Rome in a studio with Axl Rose fighting it out for dear life, and so they're like, you can't use poo, 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 poo. I'm gonna call you Chrissy. Poo, poo. Anyway, it was one of those things, and that all happened in that crazy room. But I swear to God, Jim Rome was affected by the attitude of what 91X was about because we kind of just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah, and that's his whole.
It's all
persona.
Your fault.
It's all no.
It's all your fault.
No,
Bill
he and I had he and I Bill had Corcoran words.
At the next
I
did.
Wait.
Of all,
did, wait, wait, hold
of
on.
All things.
Wait, wait, wait. Jim Rome is getting into the Radio Hall of Fame, and Bill
is
had
he?
Words. What were the words?
Well, I did some. I wrote some copy for bumpers, and some of them he wasn't really too pleased with. It was like total off the wall attitude, like Jim Rome. Now Jim Rome, he's wearing Madonna's bra, but you can't see because this is radio. And he came and he said, "Really, really?"
But did he? But he did he kibosh it? That's too bad because then,
know,
you know,
that's the whole
cut
record.
To
that's the whole...
Let the record show that Bill nodded yes that he kiboshed it. What did he like any of them?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff was, you know, was just kind of silly.
It's
and...
attitude, though. That's
exactly
the thing, you know?
Exactly.
Now cut to like the Jack stations, and it's all just crazy bumpers and nothing else. But before you go, wait, I
what do you mean go? I live here.
I know. Before we
I never go.
I learned something, by the way, earlier about Howard Stern this week, because Howard Stern was talking about when he does interviews with people that he says, okay, good night, at like 45 minutes, and he talks to them like 25 minutes, and that's when the real shit comes up. So what else did you and Jim Rome come to fisticuffs about?
Oh, wait. All right. I know what I want to say. This is bullshit. Are you serious? Jim Rome is in the Radio Hall of Fame?
Yes. He's just
being inducted?
He's being inducted, yes.
What the fuck? Where are we? Fred Jacobs is in the Hall of Fame. How come we are not in the Hall of Fame? Have we not accomplished a lot in this industry?
Oh, my gosh. A lifetime of good stuff.
Why are we not? How come nobody has nominated us?
Let's discuss this for a second.
No, seriously. Come on.
Who got in the Radio Hall of Fame because they also had a TV show? They've been hugely successful on major markets all at the same time. How many stations do you think Jim Rome has been on at the same station at the same time?
I understand, but it's not been as long as we've been doing radio.
Length doesn't matter. It's the girth.
We right? got girth. We all got girth.
Listen, you girthy.
No,
fuckers.
We should
I'm
be
telling
next
you right
year.
Now,
we should be nominated. Goddammit. Who
would,
does this?
He would
Bill?
Speak one word on the radio, and 1,700 stations probably would be carrying it. Right? We would go do a break. Hey, that was Depeche Mode, everybody. He would. We didn't get to call.
No, but
Chris
we were.
Everett.
We were
Sorry.
Funny. We were entertaining. We had a six one, share. We had a six share for 6 years.
Bill, thanks for putting up with our shit. Ladies
hey,
Bill
thank
Corker.
You guys. All right.
Love it. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you, Chris Everett, next week. Slam the door.